Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence, Kojak Plus Edition. So first, go follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Kojak Podcast. And if you want to support the show, I got Patreon and Venmo and all those things that I always say in the beginning. My links are in the show notes. So today's episode, I'll talk about it in the intro again, but real briefly, I'm joining Billy Ray Valentine and John Brissom from We've Read the Documents on their new platform they're creating sometime in the next month or so. And so my show on there is going to be called Kojak Plus. And what I'm going to do is you're going to meet my friend in a minute. My longest friend, we've known each other since we were 2 years old, no exaggeration. He is going to be my co-host on Kojak Plus, and we're just going to do conspiracies, and he's a real funny guy, so a little less info-based than mine, not just fact after fact, more discussion with learning. So I think that's the best way to learn anyway, with laughter and conversation. So you can follow him. He has his own podcast, and he'll put all that in his intro as well, but I just wanted to rebrief the brief that I'm about to give, and that's it. So go follow me, support the show, leave a review, subscribe, like, all those good things, and thanks for listening, everybody. I am Jack Allen. Take care. God bless. We'll talk soon. Peace. What is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence, but today I'm calling it Kojak Plus. If you guys were listening to my last episode, I quickly briefed that I'm going to be starting a new show on John from We've Read the Documents, my Alex Jones voice, and Billy the Kid, Billy Ray Valentine. So my new co-host for the show is Mr. Scott here, a longtime friend. So Scott, thank you for doing this. Tell everyone about yourself. How do we know each other? How long we, all these good things.
Well, Jack, thank you. Yeah, it's been a long time. You and I have known each other since diapers. Daycare is where we first met. The salt of the earth people taking their kids to a stranger's house and leaving them there for hours on end instead of a licensed facility. But so we met there. And yeah, thank you for having me. I just started my own show. So like I said, Jack kind of paved the way. I saw him get his start. It inspired me. So I've been wanting to do it for a while. And you've, like I said, paved the way pretty nicely. So it was natural. Once I saw you going, I wanted to join. So the show
and
is
what
just
do you think so far, dude.
So
what
I mean, what you've been able to create in the amount of time you've been able to do it is, look at you. You're in outer space. I am sitting in front of a window, right? I think it'll be pretty easy for your audience to tell where you are, where I am, but the hope is it's only taken you, what, a few, like, how long have you been going now?
I think about 2 years, actually.
Oh, full years. Okay,
and dude, so those first episodes, I tell people, don't eat there. I have ones with live on, like, I got to delete them. They're that bad. So it's like people, you think it's easy, like you just talk into a mic and stuff. But that's why a lot of people start and stop, because it's like, you're like, oh shit, I got to prepare like a whole show for an hour or however long you do it. And it's a lot harder than it looks just to talk into a mic. Right. Wouldn't you agree?
Especially with you and the in-depth topics you get into, because the one thing that I will say about you, and we're going to unpack everything I know, but the initial thought is like the topics you discuss. And that's why I said 6 months, because like over the last 6 months, I would say, if you would agree, like there's been a boom, like you've taken off and skyrocketed in terms of a following and the interaction you get. But it goes to show the people you talk to are very passionate. So that was going to be my point. The details in which you need to go into, because you're going into war every time you post something on Twitter, like whether it's controversial or not, like that's what Twitter is. It's everyone has a take and that's where they stand. So it transitions into my show. It's, I don't think we're ever going to cross topics is what I'll say. The name of my podcast is Just Be Normal. And that's the idea is I'm very much, I think, a very normal thinking individual. I tend not to lean heavily one way on no matter the topic. So that's where I try to keep it on the show. It's usually 30 minutes to an hour of me and my buddies rambling. I had a guest on recently, a nice interview. So yeah, check it out. It's nice. JBN Pod on Twitter as well, if you guys want to hop on there.
Yeah, and I'll post your links in the show notes. But it is like, dude, the pod, like it's so much fun, but like it is a lot of work and it's hard. You got to like prepare, like this show, I like was scrambling. So if everyone, as you said, it's almost easier because I'm so organized because I have 14 pages of notes. I just rock through them. But now living, you know, by the seat of our pants, as they say, is a different world. So Scott isn't into conspiracies. That's why I thought this would be kind of like a good idea. Brian says, I like this guy's suburban room green screen. Yes, I'm sure Scotty got it specially made for this occasion. But I thought Scott would be a good guest for the show that's going on this other network because he's not in conspiracies. He's a funny guy. So I think that's the best way to like learn stuff is by laughing, but have information. So that's my goal is what to do here. And so that's why I invited the funniest guy I know. And so this is like a preview of the show. So I wanted to start us off first with CIA history, Scotty. So you hear me talk about the CIA all the time. What would be your immediate reaction or what do you think of when you hear the CIA?
My initial thought, it's funny, without even knowing what we were going to be talking about, this thought crossed my mind because in my opinion, at least from what I see online, the CIA has become the new, like, they or the man, or in my opinion, you know, because you always see people shouting at this is the CIA. I hear you often, you know what I mean?
Like, absolutely, dude. I hear that all the time.
So, but we grew up with people saying like, oh, we got to stick it to the man. The man's trying to bring us down. And like in some retrospects, like that's kind of how you talk about the CIA. So to be honest, I don't know really much about, like, I know there's some sort of branch involving the government. What they get involved with is even beyond me, honestly. Like, I know that's probably ignorant to say.
No, dude, you're here.
Yeah. And to be honest, it's like, where did you learn? We didn't have any, like, history class doesn't cover the CIA. And they do a good, if we're about to dive into it, they do a good job of keeping that under wraps. Like, what do these people do? So go on. I'm intrigued now.
Well, so this is how it started for anybody that's listening that doesn't know the CIA. So in World War II, right? Well, so first of all, in ancient times, the best empires had spies. Like there would be times to avoid a revolt. They would just tell everybody in a neighborhood because they were getting too close, you're moving. And they would make you force you and plop you somewhere else. So you guys couldn't communicate with each other. Say you're like, let's overthrow this jerk king. So they would literally make your whole family move. And they've been doing has been going on forever. But in World War II, you had spies. And that's where you get like the guy who wrote James Bond. He was a spy for the British intelligence. So that all these James Bond stories come from this guy, Ian Fleming, and he worked for the British secret intelligence. But anyway, World War II, you got these guys in Switzerland because Switzerland is neutral, if you didn't know. And they're meeting in back alleys, making deals. Like the Nazis were trying to get at the one guy, Himmler. He was a crazy guy. He was talking to this Alan Dulles. And they're just trying to, like, they're just sneaky guys. Like, they're going behind our back. And that was called the OSS.
So, hold on. Yeah. Pause right there.
Yes.
Like, all of this, is this public information already?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What you're getting into, this is, I could go find this, but not just, like, in some dude's secret Reddit page. This is, like, I could go read
Yes, this is all... all, you know, so I try not to get too into the crazy world, but yeah, this is all like open, you know, you could find it. This, okay. They would tell you this is this history.
Okay.
Yeah. But this guy, so the guy, the original, the head top dog of the OS, he was named Wild Bill Donovan. I don't know how wild you can be in 1945, but he was wild.
Don't want to find out.
Yes. So he gets trained by the British Secret Intelligence Unit how to create their own one in America. So some people say the CIA is really the British's secret intelligence unit because they trained him. They told him what to do. He eventually he creates this whole spy apparatus, but the war ends. So what do you do with all these people, right? Now you have all these spies that have been espionage working, not always in America's our best interest, continuing wars. So what do you do with them? So they come up with this plan because the war ended in 45. They start building this idea of creating a central intelligence unit. And that's, Central Intelligence Agency. Jesus, I almost didn't know what the A stood for. But they create it, and that's in 1947. And that's how the story begins of how the CIA changes the world, dude. It changes the world.
So a lot to unpack.
Yes, unpack. Let me help you unpack it.
So first things first. The way that sounds, it seems as if like the British are some foreign people that we've never been in contact. Like, how would this topic have not been discovered? Because, you know, at that point in, you said, when did this all start? The 20s, 40s?
Yeah, the 40s was when the OSS was big. Yeah.
Okay.
During World War II.
So in the 40s, like, we clearly, as the United States, we had to have some system of spies, right? Because we've been learning from these people so what was that prior
So the spies, like I said, it's been going on forever. Like in the Civil War, there were spies like, what's his name?
But then
who
what's
shot
this?
Lincoln?
But the guy,
John Wilkes Booth, he was a spy, dude. He was an actor and he was a spy.
So I heard that before, but so that's my point is like, what is the significance behind was this guy some ultra boss, like who could teach our people like
Wild Bill Donovan or the British?
Yeah. Well, the British, I guess, because like in the 40s, you're saying when they interacted with our government, they were like, okay, we're going to show you how to make some real spies. Is that essentially it?
But see, this is what you got. Yeah, essentially. But so you got to remember the British dude dominated the globe for the last 200 years. Okay. And they started to lose in World War One. They really started to lose during our revolution happened. But they still would be, I would say, the number one superpower. And they start breaking down. And so they realize they can't overtly control everyone. These bankers at the top, they realize we can't by force control and also they're starting to push now like, well, it's not great to enslave the continent of India because you like their food and their riches. You know, that's not the best way to do it. Mm-hmm. So they figure out a better way to control the world is through having these networks they're seemingly standalone organizations, but really they're all connected to the one group.
Yeah, for sure. It's the saying is, it's not fun when the rabbit gets the gun. And
I like that.
So, but that's what it came to. They started to lose, so they figured it out for lack of a better word, intelligently, how to manipulate it from almost like, it's almost like getting a virus. It's like the inside, you know, rot them from the inside out.
Exactly.
You're getting in. And if you can do it secretly, it's even better. If you can get the idiots to agree to it already, then you know you're clean. So
yes, exactly, dude.
That makes sense.
So they create the CIA in 47. And what the way they say they need it is because our whole economy, everything is based on war, right? You need war because that's the way this central banking system works. You need to print money for the bankers to make money. So how do you get people to print money? You create prosperity through war, because now you're spending millions and millions to build up, you know, your all these weapons and everything like that. Economies go up, people are buying more. So they love war, that which should make sense because it's just a moneymaker for them. They get to kill people. It's a win all around for them. But they create the CIA because World War II's over. So now who's our enemy? Nazis are gone. So they say communists, they're our enemy. Even though we supported them, but that's a whole nother show. But And that was the CIA's original creation, was to stop communism, stop the Red Menace. And I'm sure you've heard, you know, how evil communism is.
Sure. Let's get this straight. I'm not that ignorant. So, but the other question I had, so is the CIA just the dick kid with the magnifying glass? Like he points, like he's picking off, like, okay, you know, their attention needs to be directed. Let's go, like you said, to the communists. And then when that's done, we're going to go over here and pick off.
Very good, dude. Yeah, that's absolutely one of their tactics that they use to dictate public opinion. And it didn't start out like that, but it grew into that. It grew into this culture creator.
And I'm sure the most recent, and you might have unpacked this in a show, but with what's going on, say like the stimulus checks, right? Like something chaotic has to happen for like this whole pandemic thing. Something chaotic has to happen in order to generate more money, right?
Well, so it's called problem reaction solution. So they'll create a problem, and it's not just the CIA, but it's lots of groups, bankers and things like that. You create the problem, you know, the reaction, because they study us. Like in the 50s, the Rockefellers, this was brilliant, dude. So in the 50s, they paid MIT or Harvard to run this big study on how people respond to certain stimuli. So what they would do is they would raise the gas price 10 cents. People started going to movies more, or you do this, you make this, and they studied you. And dude, it was like a 5-year program of all these different, how do people react? So they know your reaction when they have to present the problem, and they'll also mold it with the news and with celebrities talking on TV, and they have the solution, and they're waiting to be able to use that solution once the reaction gets large enough.
And that's where it gets real scary, because that's like the playing God, like you're the puppet master.
They are the puppet master.
And isn't that crazy? Because when you were talking, the whole thing that was ringing in my head was like, oh, so they're just a sociology teacher that can manipulate what they're, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because in that class, especially in college teaching, you just learn about like, yeah, this neighborhood is like this because this happens. And like, well, oh, so there's people behind it making that happen.
Ooh, dude.
Like, isn't that some shit?
You don't even know. So also,
huge dicks, the CIA, huge dick.
But dude, they use, and I know sociology is different than anthropology, but that's actually my next show I'm working on. They use anthropologists, like this is how crazy the CIA is. They use anthropologists, Barack Obama's mom was an anthropologist, as fronts to get into countries that they're trying to overthrow. So they'll send like, hey, Nicaragua, I see you have a lot of resources. We would love to study these mounds that you have. Can we send some just harmless anthropologists in? And they say, okay, and you know, here's government grant money that our tax dollars pay. And they're CIA agents. They're just undercover or deep cover monitoring and trying to get they're eventually going to get their spies in to overthrow whatever government. So our huge billion-dollar corporations can steal their resources.
So the next question I have then leads to like, okay, so now these people are here, right? And you said like there's stories from James Bond or, you know, I'm sure it's falsified to some degree. But so these spies, what are they spying? Like, what are they doing? You know what I mean? Because they're not running around with a bad bitch and a cool car like and a gun. Yes. Like they don't kill every man and sleep with every woman.
All these people, the CIA, when it was started, there's this awesome quote, and it was from LBJ, who's a hard racist. But his quote was, you see these CIA guys, they are all, their dads are all millionaires, and they don't, their own dads don't want them working for them. So that's how the CIA started. It was all these Ivy League trust fund kids who their own parents were like, I don't want to fucking deal with them. Give them to the government. And that's who started our government program. So what they do is whatever their dads tell them to do, whatever their friends that they meet at their Skull and Bones Club or their country clubs that these $1 billion have, they will. So for example, in 1952, this was one of the things I was going to bring up anyway, in Guatemala, that the United Fruit Company there, where we get our bananas from, right? And that we're enslaving these people, dude, or not us, but you know, the United Fruit Company is like, they're in chains. They have nothing. All their infrastructure was built by the, like their telephone lines. They, everything, they live in little huts, And so a new president gets elected who says, this is over. Like, this is our country. I want to make it better for these people. And so he says, I'm going to change the rules. And he wasn't even crazy. He just said, the land you're not using, United Fruit Company, you may own it, but I'm giving it back to the people. They're going to divvy it up. And what do? The CIA, first they start immediate. They try to buy them off. They say, let's just give you a billion. Well, stop doing this. Because these corporations, their kids are running the CIA. And they say, please, like, just stop this. Stop this. Then they try the media. They call him a communist. They tell he's cheating on his wife. They're spying on him. They're harassing him. And then eventually they just end up, they install a coup. They arm rebels. And the guy ends up killing himself, like, in the tub 20 years later. And everything goes back to normal, though, after they do it. And within 3 years, like, 2 million people were slaughtered, Guatemalans. But the United Fruit Company, they got to keep their fruit, and it all went back to normal. So
those lights stayed on, baby.
They did, dude. They stayed on for sure.
People don't stop eating bananas, huh? They don't care.
Dude. No.
But isn't that something, though? Because, like, for him to know what he's up with, well, that's the thing. Do you think he even knew? Like, do you think he was just, like, a good-hearted guy that was the leader or whatever?
Oh, no, they're evil.
Okay, so everyone's evil.
Yeah, like, those guys are the worst. Like, Dulles, he became the first director of the CIA. He's involved with killing Kennedy. That's these type of, like, dude, they, so I just did a show on, like, the Canaan, you're real biblical, so, the, you know, Canaanites.
Yeah.
And so that's, like, the one theory is that these people, they can track their ancestry for hundreds of years.
Way back.
And they may come, like they've got volume, like, you know, I could trace mine to, like, 1750, and they can go back, dude, to the Middle Ages, possibly even before that. And so that's the theory, is these people that are in these positions of power, like Alan Dulles, he was descended from these Swiss, this Swiss power family, and that there's something evil in them. You know, like, they're inherently evil, whether it's Canaanite blood or whatever it is. They're not like you and I, you know?
I mean, have you ever met a trust fund kid? Yeah, they're evil. They're the worst.
I don't think I have. Have you met a trust fund
kid? I have, in rehab, of all places.
And, wow.
But what I'll tell you, though, is it's so, and I was going to bring this up when you were talking about them, because, like, the personality aspect of it is those kind of kids. If you give them, and because their dads, like you said, their parents probably hate them because they're exhausting human beings.
Right.
But if you give those kids an ounce of power, that's when they flip it on, and all of a sudden they're lord of whatever they're doing. So with you promote one of the, oh, you're in a secret society about, oh my God, those guys get dick hard over it. And they probably, like you said, they probably have no issue doing crazy stuff like you're talking about because those guys are out of their mind.
Right, dude, because there is, like, it's either they're born evil, or, like, there's this, you know, like, just like how celebrities always love to tell you how to live, these people that have, you know, like Bill Gates, I remember he was on Ellen's show, and they, like, said, how much does pizza pockets cost? And he guessed, like, $25 for a box. Like, they're just so removed from the real world that they think, you know, they're just being told what their agent tells them to say, or maybe they believe it, but they're just so out of touch that it comes off like you're an asshole.
Yeah. And that's like, and we can, I'm sure we're going to get into celebrities too, but, like, the celebrities as a whole are just crazy people. That's what it's because, and the problem is you come across some of them that don't make that leap, but if you stay in it long enough, like you said, if it's not Hollywood or the government, whoever's manipulating these kind of people, if it's not that, it's surely the lifestyle of always being on camera, always turning it on. Like, you forget what it's like to just be naturally speaking to someone.
Well, so there's this one, I'm sure you've probably heard of this. It's called MK Ultra.
Yes.
So MK Ultra was a brainwashing thing done by the CIA, and actors. And I've told you about how all the hippie people were, they were CIA operatives, like, you know, the Doors, all those guys. But so that's, these actors are, because they change their personality so much, and they just, the most actors, like, I don't think you and I know any famous act, like, have met any, but they just want to be famous so bad they will do whatever they need to get in the limelight. And that's why a lot of them are totally insane, because they just want to stay in that power. and they thrive. Like, that's who they are. You know, they couldn't be any different. So I think that adds to why they're, you know, insane.
So here's the story for you. We don't know any personally, any famous actors. Yeah. But so when I was living in Florida, we used to go to, it was a 24/7 fitness.
Yeah.
The gym that used to be owned by Shaquille O'Neal. And I know it used to be owned because they painted over all of his logos. And
Damn.
It did such a shitty job. You could still see him through the paint. Anyway, we used to play basketball there all the time. And I worked a job where I had weird hours. So I was there in the middle of the day. And I see like two guys way too nicely dressed for Boynton Beach 24/7. Like they were in like Nike's fitted. Everything was just crisp. And they passed by me really quick. And I go, oh my God, I think I know who that is. And it was Kevin Hart walked right by me. Then Kevin Hart's doing lat pull downs right beside me. And then, so then I'm like, all right, now we're just working out. We're boys. So,
yeah, you're homies.
Yeah. So he goes in to shoot basketball with his trainer. And I had my basketball shoes on. So I figured I'm just going to break the fourth wall. Like, I'm not going to pretend he's holier than thou.
Right. Yeah.
So
That's a good strategy.
And I tried it. And I walked right up to him. And I said, hey, man, do you want to play a game? Like, and he looked at, I swear to God, he looked at me like I was Kevin Hart. He was like, what? And I can't remember for the life of me if he responded or if the other guy did, but I think he said, no, man, well, I'm good. So at least he spoke to me.
Yeah.
But to the point of this story, no more than 5 minutes later, the entire gym was now in the basketball court area, just watching, videotaping everything. And it's like, and there, the worst part was, is there I was doing the same thing. Like, sure, I tried to be Mr. Cool and like, yeah, I'm playing basketball with Kevin Hart. I mean, no big deal. But it wasn't that at all. Like, there I was putting him on every social media app I own.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It must just drive them insane or make them crazy.
Yeah, dude. Well, and what you told me today, I don't know if you guys knew this. What is Kevin Hart's newest creation?
Oh, my God. The fast food. What is it? What's the proper term? It's not vegan. It's plant-based.
Oh, plant-based.
Plant-based fast food restaurant. Oh, my God.
Dude. And so, again, this ties into perfectly what we're talking about. Like, you see the people involved with, like, Beyond Meat, which is crashing, by the way, the stock. It's Shocked. Bill Gates and all these people. So you would think, like, and I think I've made this joke to you before, like, you always hear people like, oh, red meat's bad for you. Oh, eggs are bad for you. Really? Then why don't you ever tell people that Doritos are bad for them or the, you know, the tons of hundreds of processed, because it's not about the health. They want to make you weaker and tired. So you'll eat your fake meat and your testosterone's lower. You won't reproduce. It's a whole thing, dude. So that's not surprising that Kevin Hart is doing a plant-based fast food restaurant.
And I just wish I was in the marketing meeting for that, because it's just full of holes. It's like, because first off, it's going to taste horrible. Second off, if it doesn't taste horrible, like, you have to, okay, you're making fast food. So you're going to tell me you're going to get quality plant-based items from soup to nuts that taste good at a low price? No. And then if you do, you're going to tell me that people that can afford it are going to eat it like fast food and eat it daily and it's going to be good for you? Like, come on. No, it's not. It's for like rich suburban moms that are going
to
be.
Where are they going to put out? Because if you guys don't know, Kevin Hart's, we're from the Philadelphia area. We both shared our drug days in North Philadelphia, where Kevin Hart's from. So is he going to put it in Kensington, the largest open air drug? Like, where is he planning on putting his first his flagship store?
You and I both know a lot of foot traffic in Kensington.
That is true, though. You do get a lot of foot traffic.
There probably wouldn't be many cars going through the drive-through, but plenty of people. Plenty of people.
That is true. That maybe you have some good ads in the window. You could really entice. They have $10. They say, okay, I'll get five on dope, five on a fake meat burger.
Exactly. Maybe. And whatever they give you is probably made of hemp and could be worn as an article of clothing as well. So
that's a fair point, too. They're probably wrapped up in like all natural stuff.
Big hemp making their play.
Well, so this is still, I'm switching a little bit. But so I wanted to talk about ridiculous CIA topics. And this one was one of the funny. So how we were talking about, they do everything, dude. Like I told you already, they got involved in the hippies, like that movement. They created it because it was a legitimate anti-war movement with, you know, our grandparents in suits and ties sitting in colleges, you know, having sit-ins or whatever. And they knew that that was a real threat because war is their moneymaker. They can't have, you know, normal people being anti-war. So what they do is they start mass producing LSD. They start mass producing this music that they select, that they have people write, and they just attribute it to people like Jim Morrison. Whatever. Yeah. So that's what they, So they do all these projects for control. And one of their craziest projects is Operation Acoustic Kitty. Now, from that title alone, Scott, they're usually kind of sneaky with their titles. What do you think Operation Acoustic Kitty entails? Do you have a guess?
So my legitimate guess would be, well, I don't know. I don't know what my guess should be.
That's okay. Yeah, you don't need to have one.
My true guess would be some sort of music that attracts young girls.
That's how they name them usually. There's another one like that. So this started in the 1960s. So the CIA has been around for a decade. So they spend $20 million, which I have a converter, $20 million, whatever. It's probably like $60 million today, at least. Okay. So they spent at least $60 to $80 million on, I don't know how you spend this much, but they tried to bug cats, and they would send the cats to go spy. Like, let's say there's a group of Soviets in the park. They would send the kitty over them, hope the cat would sit down next to the people, and it had a listening device in its brain so it could listen in on secret conversations.
See, this is the kind of stuff that'll get you in trouble, because this one sounds pretty fucking crazy.
Does sound crazy.
This would be just like the plant-based fast food restaurant. I would love to sit in the marketing meeting but I guess I will say, the thought behind a cat, probably the...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Only animal you can get that would approach people at will?
I don't know, dude. Cats, I have two. They don't come even if I, I've trained them to come when I click. I could show everybody that's watching if I click my tongue. But even that does not foolproof, you know? So odd choice in a cat as a choice.
But think, you walk outside. If you're going to, one, let something come up to you, and two, if something is going to come up to you, if a dog approaches, you're moving.
Yes.
If a cat approaches, you're, worst case, get out of here, cat.
Scram. Get out of here. But so this cat, so they try it. They spend, you know, $80 million a day of our tax dollars. They do it. They bug the cat. Where they got the, I mean, like, I get $80 million. That's a lot on one cat, right? Like, you can find one outside and be like, all right, you're my science project. We're going to click for Loki. But yeah, so they bug the cat. And there's these Soviets, because they had an embassy, you know, so that's like where they stay in DC we have an embassy there, all those things. So these two guys are talking, and they release their kitty, jingles on over, and he misses the people, doesn't even go near them. He walks into the street, gets killed by a car. That's the end of Operation Acoustic Kitty.
Jingles. Done.
Done, dude. And he didn't even get to listen. He literally got squished by a car, and there goes $80 million. They said, well, we're not going to do that again.
But think of how that would have to break down. Like you said, first off, you got to get a ton of cats.
Yeah.
So it's like, imagine being the guy who runs the local pound, getting a call from the CI. They're on my back, guys. I need more cats. You guys got breaking into people's houses, stealing their cats.
Dude, but like, how do you spend $80 million on this? Like, that is insane. I mean, $20 million, and I might be off on that, but it was definitely $20 million in 1960. So a lot of money, dude. Like, you would think that this should be a very cheap project. You get like a small walkie-talkie. You have thousands of cats just living on the street. Just pick them up. What are you spending $20 million on? Like, are you buying specially bred cats? This is insane.
Go next to a tree, buy a park bench, throw a Dixie cup tied to a string over one end of the room, and listen to the, you know what I mean? There's so, like, the cat way, that's top.
That seems insane. Very long.
That's insane. Very,
yeah, long. That seems like a long process.
And like you said, it's all in for a hope of them getting, like,
right. No. But that's insane. Like $20 million. Like, again, and they've spent so much money that we have no idea. That's another thing about the CIA. They signed it in 1947 that they don't have no oversight. The only oversight is if the president asks. And even then, the president says, are you stealing people off the streets? No. And that's the end of it. You would never find, like, there's no oversight. We don't know how much money they get. We don't know what they spend it on. We don't even know how many people they employ. We know none of this.
Do we know who the head is? Like, who at least the picture head is?
New president, they get to pick their head of the CIA. Okay. So it's that changes. So what you would do if you were an evil person is you would just be like highest non-elected person, and you make sure you tell you're in charge. Like, you want this to not be embarrassment. You're going to listen to what I say.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense.
Ooh, David said bat bombs. David, that would be an idea. Maybe if you like, bats could be better than a cat. I don't know, though. I'm trying. What would you think would be the best animal they should have bugged? You think that was the best?
I honestly do, because unless they're getting it on an insect, which at the time, because the other thing is like,
how too big. They're too small. Big.
So like I said, dog opposes. And oh my God, there's wild animals you don't want near you.
No.
So the cat is the only way, unless it was a mouse, but a mouse is avoiding anything. So yes, I think that's fair. What did he say? The bat bomb?
Yeah.
I appreciate it, but you'd have to.
He says it's real. The bat bomb is real. I'm going to Google this now. Bat bomb CIA.
Well, here comes my only and one bat story is, Ben, when we were kids, we had a chimney and bats used to get on top in our place in the Poconos. And we used to you would grab a handful of gravel, you throw it up in the air, and bats would shoot out because they thought it was bugs flying. And they would swoop out and, you know, they would avoid
it. So you would throw it up the chimney.
Horrible job of painting the picture. We are outside. I am standing outside of the house looking up at the chimney. So I grab a handful of gravel and I throw it up in the dark sky at night.
Oh.
They think it's a bug flying. They sonar it swoop down. But that makes sense why they calls it a bomb, because it's what it looks like. They swoop down. But I'd be interested to know that story, because bats are horrific. Hold on.
So this is the bat. A bomb-shaped casing, and dropped a bomber at the mid-flight, open to release the bats. Okay, so it's a big container with tons of bats hibernating. They would drop it and set on timers and ignite fires, and I guess the bats would be lit on fire, I'm guessing. David might know better, the guy who wrote about it in the chat. But it sounds like that's what, from a brief looking, they packed all these bats in a bomb. They would drop it, light Roosevelt. A fire and send them off. Probably trying to burn things. Damn. Dude, imagine the guys coming up with these ideas. Like, you just either got to be smoking tons of weed and nothing's off the table. Nothing.
No, they were tapping. You know what it was? They were tapping some of that CIA LSD.
Dude, that's probably how they got these ideas.
You dropped that, and I'm talking about bats being lit on fire. It's like, what? Isn't that insane? Like you said, dude, there has to be better ways to do it.
Yes, dude.
Bat bomb might be all right. First T-shirt idea. Thanks, David, because bat bomb is my new favorite topic. I'm going to talk
crazy,
about that
right? That's insane. Yeah. So, David, thank you for that addition. So the other one I wanted to mention was Operation Midnight Climax. Now, what is that? First impressions, first idea. What are you thinking? Operation Midnight Climax.
Nothing good. Something after a strip club, possibly.
Dude, very close. Very close. Yeah. So what they would do is, this was all tied into like MK Ultra. It was like a sub project of MK Ultra. So they would, you know, they were making all this LSD, and they said, you know what would be funny? Or what would be a good idea? Let's dose powerful people that are in America. We're going to get them a prostitute, and we're going to send them to the prostitute, say, hey, you want to have a good time, buddy, Mr. Foreigner? Go to this cat house or whatever, I don't know, brothel. And so they would go to the brothel, they'd be drinking with the women, and one of the women would be on the CIA payroll. They dose the drink with LSD, and they would be watching these guys from a, they take her, she'd say, like, come to my room. They go to the room, and there's like a two-way mirror, and the CIA is on the other side of the two-way, the one-way glass, watching this guy, trying to see what he'll spill, what he'll talk about. And that was Operation Midnight Climax.
Wow. Do you think she, my guess is, that's where I struggle with the conspiracy behind the CIA, because it seems like then you're asking strippers to, you know what I mean? Like, they're asking a lot from ordinary people.
So this is in 1954. So most of the people that, you know, it's not stripper in the sense we think of a strip, you know, it's a much different time.
Well, like a brothel just, and I understand it's more of like a
like higher class.
Yeah. Meet and greet. And then let's go bang type situation. So I get that. But so you're saying they might have one person.
Maybe somebody, she's been arrested for prostitution. She has a child. We're going to lock you away forever. Unless you just put this liquid in the John's cup and take him to this room and we'll never mention this again. So it's really, you know, and they don't know anything else. They probably don't even know they're being watched. They probably don't even know what they put in the cup. Their goal is, and I'm sure like they would switch out after the guys all messed up. The CIA would come in and start asking him questions. Like, I'm sure she wasn't running the interrogation.
Yeah, that was kind of my point, like putting trust in normal people. But so do you think it's that degree of insane? Like, they are manipulative from head to toe. Like, they will find the person with the struggling situation and tell you it's going to get worse. And holy shit.
Yes, dude. I mean, this is what they do this. Like, that's the micro level. They'll do it on the macro level, a whole country, like, oh, you guys, you have a beautiful country, or I don't know, I'm doing a horrible example. Like, that's, you have a wonderful gold resources here. It would be a shame if, you know, this rival political party got power over you. So then they do that and they say, unless we could help you protect that gold and your position of power, why don't you let us in there and ask for our help? And that's like how that's what they do. They'll
like go, we were saying, just huge dicks.
Yeah, dude, huge. The biggest.
And is it to generate? So what's the end? That's a good question. What's the end goal? Is it to generate money, like revenue?
I guess that's like a tough question, right? Like, what is the goal? I think the goal, Pressy in the chat said, to protect our democracy. That's a beautiful answer.
Hell yeah,
that's exactly it. They're protecting our democracy. But no, it's to, like, you want to have a populace that you can control. And that's why each year since the past 70 years, we've lost, right? It's so you can have a subdued population that is essentially cattle, right? That you can just push wherever you want. They'll react how you want them to react, and they won't cause you issues, you know?
So basically, they think they figured out how to make the world go round, and they're just going to keep doing it no matter what that takes.
Yes, dude. And I'm sure, like, it's not like everybody in the CIA is this evil person, right? But it's so compartmentalized. Like, your goal is to, you know, they say you need to spy on this guy, we think he's doing something bad, and that's what they'll do, right? And they probably honestly think, some of them, that they're saving our country, they're keeping America safe by, like, you know, Osama bin Laden, right? Osama bin Laden, he used to be on the CIA payroll. He was working for the CIA in the 80s. And do you remember Rocky, or it was a Sylvester Stallone, Rambo, after Rambo 2, I think Rambo 2. I've never seen you've probably seen them. Have you seen
it? Wouldn't be, yeah, but it wouldn't be. You're talking about how recent?
Like old, like the 80s.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, it could be. Yeah.
Okay. So, at the ending credit of Rambo 2, it says this film is dedicated to the brave soldiers of Mujahideen, or however you say it. And that was these terrorists. Well, we armed them to fight the Russians. We gave them guns and weapons and surveillance, and they became Al Qaeda, the people that supposedly brought down our Twin Towers.
Chopping people's heads off.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what they say. But yes. So isn't that like, that's like what they like. We, the same thing is going on with Ukraine, the Azov battalion. I don't know if you've heard about, they're the, like this Nazi faction in Ukraine that we're giving weapons to fight Russia. Well, this is you'll find after we keep talking and doing our shows, the same thing will continue happens. And so they're going to arm these people. We gave them $40 billion, right? Well, what do you think what's going to happen when this war ends? Yeah. Do you think these guys are going to say, well, we fought, we won, I'm done being a Nazi. I'm done. That was good. It served its purpose. No, they're going to continue being their beliefs, right?
Like, all right, guys. War's over.
Yeah. I'll take off my tattoo now. You can shave it off. I'm done.
All right. Let me scrub the old head on the swastika off my head. Yeah, dude, that's insane. But that is crazy just to know that that's what they're willing to do. Like you said, like it's almost morals don't exist. We just have to keep. It's the rat, like a real rat race, right?
Yeah,
like,
dude, it's forever. Yeah. And then the last one I wanted, because this one relates. So, I didn't say this. So everyone knows that I struggled with drugs. Scott also struggled. We struggled with drugs together. Maybe I got him involved with it. I don't know. I don't know who's to blame.
The jury's still out, but I think I would have found my way one way or another.
How do we get those drugs, dude? So how do they get into America? What's your like regular person theory, how drugs get to America and the West and the world?
Yeah. So I think the issue I have is everything in between. Right. So I think I have a grasp on, like, I stopped like where it, after it left the people we were getting, like a dealer, a local drug dealer. After it gets above him, that's where I start to already get lost. Like, because then you're talking like, say, for example, crack cocaine or whatever drug you want to throw.
Yeah.
Like once it gets to a certain weight, if you will, then I don't know where it's coming from. But then from the flip side of that, on the opposite end of the spectrum, I would assume it's being grown in, my guess was always like very, very poor countries, but obviously it being mostly the stuff is like plant-based, it has to be able to grow in these climates as well. So I would say that's poor, good climate, and then that's where I get confused. It's like,
is a great answer, dude. So that's exactly like, it's that, let's start, we'll say heroin was big in the Middle East and Afghanistan when the Mujahideen were there. The reason why we were also supporting them was to fight communism and to protect their poppy plants that the CIA was using to make the heroin. Same thing in Vietnam, they call it the Golden Triangle, where there's that triangle where they used to grow. I think what's the movie with Denzel? He's the gangster.
Oh, Training Day.
No, that's a bad American Gangster. Yeah, like, you know, it's
where he's like Frank Lucas.
Yeah, Frank Lucas. Yes, yeah. That's where they're growing. And again, did the war start for the heroin? Possibly, but that's because they had in China, we were growing heroin. That's why we funded this one guy, Chiang Kai-shek. So that a lot of these wars will coincide where they're growing the heroin. But this guy, Paul Helliwell, he was the beginning of the CIA in 1947. He needed funding for his CIA. He was not the top dog, but worked closely. And so he comes up with this idea because in China, that's how they were funding the fight against the Chinese communists. Because at one point, China was like America. And so the Japanese actually did it first. They were growing heroin or opium, selling it, using that money to fund the war. And so Paul Helliwell, he comes back, he says, I got a great idea. We're going to do the same thing. And so also while he was doing that, he helped Mr. Disney get all his land in Florida. That's another.
What a resume on him.
I know, dude. Yeah. But that's how Disney got his land, was Paul Helliwell. He organized that. But yeah, so there he grows all this heroin, and they literally do create a drug like company. Like they have unmarked container ships, like front companies, all this, like every banks that are created that are all run by the CIA.
So funny you say that. And it's funny you bring up Disney, because I mentioned this to you before. I lived in Florida, Southeast Florida, for a good chunk of time.
Yeah.
And it's just, you're talking about unmarked ships. The Miami River is notorious. And I mean, it was more so in the 80s when the cocaine boom was really happening. But it's just ironic. Like, he's in Disney in this wasteland of Florida. And then just the connection of how drugs were ported into Florida. It's, you know, there's probably something there.
Right. Absolutely. Dude. Yeah. And so, but that's what they literally create all of these, like they fund these organizations that are like the, I think the one that was doing the heroin was like Ocean Cargo Unlimited or something, like these really bland names, but they get, and also they'll get old decommissioned war machinery, like ships or helicopters or planes. And that's what they use to transport these drugs, and they'll bring them into America, and they're the CIA. So if you pull them over, you know, like what, I don't, you know, you don't get pulled over in the sky, but you know, you say, oh, I'm, this is a top need to know basis. I'm a CIA. You don't, you
get, here's your badge and
and get out of here. Yeah. And dude, and that's how the drug. And so their original plan, when they did this, they said, cause you know, CIA had honest people in the '50s. Like our grandparents were, you know, regular. They were like, you can't do that. And they said, no, we're not going to put it in the white areas. We're just going to put it in the black areas. And they said, okay, that's fine. Then we'll do it that way. And that's how it started.
And there you go, dude. It's once again them manipulating like just people in general. Like that era was definitely leaning more racist than not. And they knew they'd be probably okay with it, which
is dude.
Great. And then sure enough. So then that probably, you know, then my guess is what? They make a connection inside the neighborhood, like some Frank Lucas type.
Right.
And he'll start the distribution process.
Your boy, Ricky, Freeway Ricky.
Freeway Ricky.
He was a, like an operative, and they eventually threw him under the bus because he got, and that's what they'll do too. But his connection, he knew was the CIA because his supplier, I think it was Noriega in Panama, somebody like down there in South America. He said, why are you going after me? I'm not the big fish. My big fish, he's working for the CIA. And they, you know, they say, get the hell out of here. And, or they just shut the story down and it never comes out. But that's what they find, a top dog. And then they just get these little guys to pretend like they're doing something. You know,
don't hold me to this, but it's probably been a year since I watched it, but White Boy Rick, who was a notorious drug dealer, I think in Detroit.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that ended weird. And like I said, don't hold me to it, but I thought I remember something weird like that. Like, cause he was like a man-made huge distributor. And I'm sure they don't look fondly on that because you're infringing on their own money. So I think something like where he got arrested and something weird happened, I think at the end of it. So it's not surprising knowing that too.
Yeah. And I saw that preview but I think he was either working with a federal.
Okay.
With the guy, like he was, maybe that was who he was getting it from or that. But you know who Whitey Bulger is, right?
Yeah.
Whitey Bulger, dude, that's why he was untouchable for 30 years, because he worked directly with John Connolly, who was a CIA, or maybe he was an FBI operative, but he worked directly with them, and he used the FBI. He made them look good because he would tell them, my enemy is doing a big drug buy here tomorrow, and they would bust him. So he was knocking out his competition and working with the feds. He was a rat the whole time.
And the worst part is that is very public. Like it's because they made like the movie, I'm pretty sure, with isn't it
Johnny Depp?
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure that's half the storyline, is him working with people. And that's what, it's interesting, because when you're watching it just as like a normal consumer, you're taking it as like, oh, he's just, you know, helping out the good guys. And it's like, no, they're just like fucking everyone else so they can take their place. You're right. It's very interesting when you see like the other side of it.
Yeah, dude. And so I wanted to, so we could talk, about this forever, but this relates to what you sent me. Scott sent me this awesome video and I'm going to play it, guys. Just let me pull it up. I just want to see if I can. All right. One second, I'm going to share my screen. So let me know if you can, let's see, share. Oh my gosh. What am I doing? Oh, okay, here. All right. So let me hit this from the beginning. And this was crazy, everybody, that this. All right.
So here, hold on. Pause it first. All right.
Pause it first.
Let's set the precedent. So what you're watching. So this girl that's on the screen now, it's Alex Cooper. She's a former Barstool employee. Barstool Sports. She hosted a podcast. The podcast is Call Her Daddy. Yeah, it's awesome. Great. It's real original. She talks about really intriguing things. Anyway, so with that being said, you know the guy that she's about to talk to. And I'm assuming you're...
Well, no. So in the chat, the guy she's talking to is Spencer Preston, right? That was his name?
Yes. And that's someone who, from what I've found out, is his tie to fame is his connection with the show The Hills.
Ah,
so I believe he and that's a show where, if you guys don't remember, it was supposed to be a reality, but it was staged. So they
Yes.
They put like real people in these, like, oh, Janet's now you're dating this guy.
Right.
And this guy's dating. So they put him in a crazy scenario. This guy was just a part of that puzzle. And I think somehow, some way, he found his way to fame.
Yeah.
That's why he's on with her. This, she has a bajillion followers, and now we can hear what she's. So that's the scene.
All right, guys, this is crazy. All right, so that was important, Scott. All right, here I'm going to hit play.
Grew up in California, going to school with celebrities and celebrities' kids. Who was the first famous person you remember meeting in your life?
Oh, hands down, Meryl Streep.
I did not expect the answer. That's fucking baller.
We're very young. We set, and it was Meryl Streep, and I would be chilling on set. I mean, then it's next thing you know, I'm having a slumber party with Hillary Clinton, you know. So, I mean, like, my
wait, you have to clarify, you're having a slumber party with Hillary Clinton. What do you
so
mean?
My best friend, his parents were best friends with the Clintons from Arkansas, and so when I was a kid, you know, I always sleep over at Charlie's house, but one night, you know, Secret Service did their thing. I think I was a safe 14-year-old or whatever, and so, yeah, I know, slumber party. I was in the kitchen with Hillary. That was wild.
So Scott found that clip. So that was an awesome clip. So what a normal person, because everyone in my chat hearing a sleepover as a 14-year-old with Hillary Clinton, everyone's mind is going one way. So what is a regular person like you think about that?
It's hard. It's hard because I'm too close with you to not have the red flags go up and the alarms. There's a reason I sent it to you. So, but even that's as a whole, it's still the context. Like, I would be surprised if you don't see, if you were to go on that kid's tweet, it's probably flooded with like, where's the connection? And then you could see it's clearly edited, but it's like, why? And I didn't listen to the episode, so it could be, but there is no context in which you are saying I had a sleepover at the Clintons' house.
No. As a 14-year-old boy, what are you doing sleeping over at a famous pot? Even if they're your family's friends, I've never, you know, that's a very odd situation.
He also said
service is involved.
He also said things got wild at Hillary's. I don't want to know what wild at Hillary's is talking about. She was chasing me around.
Pillow fight,
There was this guy dressed up with a goat's head on in the corner. Like, I don't, I'm telling you, dude, that kid, God knows. But like I said, he's one of those people where you have to wonder, though. Like, do you think did he just get close to the action and then kind of pulled away, or that's where you gotta? He brought it up very nonchalantly. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. And David in the chat said weekend at Hillary's. That's funny. Like, weekend at Bernie's. But so first also, so Bill Clinton, he was governor of Arkansas.
Yes.
And this ties into so drugs from the, so there was Operation Gladio that was focused more on heroin and Middle East and Asia. And then Operation Condor was the cocaine edition or the remix in South America. And so those planes were being flown into Mena, Arkansas, when Bill Clinton was governor. And there's the guy, American Made, I think, Tom Cruise?
Yes.
So that guy, Barry Seal, I have his book, I haven't read it yet, but he had George Bush's private cell phone number and Bill Clinton's private cell phone number. He says that they did massive amounts of cocaine, loved to party, they partied with him. So I just wanted to bring that as a backstory of that's the kind of guy these Clintons were. They were evil, evil people.
And I mean, to be honest, it's like you can make all the jokes you want, but I think it's like very apparent. He's just like a horny dude. Like besides, old Bill, because besides all the BJ allegations, it's like you just look at every time, dude, he's always red in the face. He's always like, and I mean, nowadays he's probably just like a weak old man. I don't know where he's fucking baby blood, but he's doing, you know, whatever he's doing.
Have you seen that video of him looking at Avril Lavigne?
Yes,
or not Avril Lavigne.
Whoever it is, I know
who is it with the ponytail.
I don't know, but I can just picture his face.
Somebody in the chat will know who's the girl that Bill Clinton stared. Oh, Ariana Grande. That's
there you go.
Was.
Yeah,
and she's singing.
She has a little skirt on.
Yeah, and I think before he was like kind of like sleeping, and then she comes up singing. And he's got like a kid in a candy shop smile.
Hell
like,
yeah.
Oh wow, this little girl.
I'm saying reminded him of whatever his name is at the old wild sleep.
Preston of the
Preston guy.
But dude, that's this like isn't new also. Like these sleepovers and things. Like there was this CIA guy in the 80s, and there's so many scandals, but he was basically he was on the White House guest list at like 2 a.m. for White House tours hundreds of times. And he was throwing these massive like parties with children or adults, prostitutes for politicians. And he had all this info on everybody. And he eventually writes a message in blood on his wall. Like, I served my country the only way I knew how, because he knew he was about to die. And he committed suicide, quote unquote, probably with like 4 gunshots to the head.
Yeah.
They killed him. And so that's why I brought that up, that because this isn't like a, you know, this isn't a one and done thing. Like this goes on. It's universal in our country, I guess, nationwide.
Yeah. And my point probably being is like this guy probably was, this is all it was. It was some weird sleepover at Hillary Clinton, because like I said, he seemed very nonchalant about it. But like there's, as you were hinting at, billions of more of these stories, right. You know what I mean? That don't end with things got wild, like we baked cookies. No, it's like things got wild. Bill took his pants off. Leads to trouble.
Yeah, dude. And it's getting harder and harder to get with, like, you know, technology and stuff like that. But this stuff, just like how we started the show talking about crazy rich celebrities are, politicians are probably a whole new level of crazy, because not only are they rich, the power they have is, you know, like a senator or a governor. I mean, you've got people shake when you walk, like you could ruin everything, you know?
I agree. And I think that's probably where I was just thinking about like how those types of people are portrayed in movies, and how like, I bet that's probably not a crazy depiction, because all of them are usually sniffing coke off their, you know, they're married at home and a picture perfect wife and life and kids. And but then on the flip side, like I said, they're sniffing coke off a stripper's ass. Well, like they're doing something horrible.
Do you know Herschel Walker? He's like, I don't know if he lost or if he's still running or whatever he's doing, but Trump's a big fan of Herschel Walker. Well, I saw in the paper, you know, and Herschel Walker's are like, you know, one is his son is like a girl, like his name's Christian, but he like wears makeup and like, you know, does the wrist stuff and all that. But anyway, Herschel's big on family. He says, you know, you got to be a family man, and you know, all those things that politicians are supposed to say. Well, it comes out he's got a 12-year-old kid from a one night stand that he's never mentioned before. And he's not paying child support. Maybe he's paying child, but he never sees the kid. So these people are insane. That's like the point I'm making.
Yeah, and it sucks. And do you know how big of like, how much change does Herschel Walker think he's going to make? He could probably make more change just by sticking to his football career and living all, you know what I mean? Like trying to get in through the community aspect rather than, because like you have to be a crazy egomaniac to run for one of these jobs, or you just are delusional to the point where you think you're going to be the one and that's going to make the big difference, and you're going to slowly realize you're not, and then they're going to get you anyway. So
I think you're right. Like either maybe some people start with good intentions, but they go away quick, dude.
Herschel Walker claimed to fame, never lifted a weight in his life, only did
push-ups. Is that what he says?
damn, he never, he got as big as he did with only doing push-ups.
That's what he said. I don't, sure. And maybe steroids. No yeah. way, he's just doing push-ups.
Swear to God, dude, he said he was doing like 5,000 a day. He was nuts. But now, I don't know what to say.
Fuck.
That one hurts.
Well, dude, so this was, I hope you, we had about, you know, thanks for everyone in the chat, about 12 people watching. So where can, well, real quick before I give you put all your links. So Scott and I will be doing shows on Billy and John station, and I'll post more about that, but it's starting in like a few weeks, and I'll bring Scott on here again, cause this was an awesome, awesome show. But that's where you'll be able to listen to Kojak Plus, and I'll put all the things out or where you can do it. And I'll probably be able to put the shows on Kojak at some point, like after it's out for a while, but that's where you can find us. So Scott, where can you listen to you? Where can you follow you, find you, all those good things?
As I said, we're just getting started, so things are just working itself out. But Twitter is up and running. It is JBN Pod on Twitter. And I think we're Just Be Normal Podcast on Instagram. I just made it. So like I said, we're just getting things off the ground, but excited to see what the future holds.
Nice, dude. And I'll put all your show notes or links in the show notes. And thanks for everyone listening. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. It was a lot of fun in the chat. And I'm Jack Allen. We'll see you guys soon. Peace.
Peace.
One second.